Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, radio.com sports station. You didn't know that? Of course you did. Continue.
I appreciate that. No, another couple little players I wanted to throw out was Evan Turner, because, you know, coming out of Ohio State, you know, a lot of people had high hopes for him. And he was always that kind of weird in-between thing, right? You know, because the NBA is a level up, and, you know, if you're going to be that size, you're either going to play guard or you better be able to beast up like Draymond or something, right? So he got a huge contract, and a lot of people were kind of hating on him. So I like how clutch he played today. And he did the little things, too. I mean, I think he had 11 points, but he was grabbing boards. You know, he hit clutch free throws. And then Rodney Hood, too. I mean, hopefully he's okay, but, you know, everyone knew he had talent and, you know, his size and everything.
Yeah.
He never really got to show that with LeBron.
Ton of talent.
You know, he showed up, too.
Yeah, that's a name that I hadn't been thinking about. But, yeah, he's Hood. I hope he's not hurt. I want everybody to be 100%. Like when the guy for the, excuse me, the Blazers, the center, Nurkic, when he goes down, I'm sorry, but I don't want him to be hurt, because I don't want any of these people to have excuses. Because guarantee, say for whatever reason, the Blazers push the Warriors to 7 games. You know what we're going to hear from the mouth of every Blazer fan, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The same thing that we heard from Chris Paul at the end of last year.
A couple nights ago, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, we'd have to live through that. But, yeah, man, hey, Irv, appreciate you taking my call. Remember my name for next time I call in, man, because I'd love to chat.
All right, Max, thank you for calling. Don't be a stranger. Today's the perfect day for you to make your first ever appearance on 95.7 The Game, because I am solo for the entire show, and even I run out of things to say every once. No, that's not true. I always have something to say, but I'd like to say it to you, and I would like to hear what you think. We're going to put a spin. I haven't mentioned it to my fellow weekend warriors back there. We're going to put a spin on good for ball, bad for ball. We're actually going to do two versions of it, and I'm going to finally leave a couple of minutes, like get out of everything with still a couple of minutes to properly close the show and do my gratitudes and all of that. But good for ball, bad for ball is going to happen in the final hour of the program. Before that, we're going to be talking with Eric Crocker. We'll be talking to him in about, I don't know, 15 minutes from now. He's a former NFL DB with 4th and 9 contributor, and he is the host of the Press Coverage Podcast. He comes highly recommended by Tommy Call. Is that correct? Tommy Call is our draft guru. Guru, I say. Love that kid. He's a hustler, man. He's doing it the right way. Labor of love. You ain't going to make much money in this for 15, 20 years, but once you do, it's pretty great. And getting there, it's fantastic. It's all about the journey. Alex Pavlovich is going to be joining us. He's going to talk a little Giants baseball. That'll be in the 6 o'clock hour. But right now, the phone lines, oh, it's so sad. They're all blank. Every one of them's blank. I want you to be my co-host. You could co-host the rest of the show if you're great the whole time. But you're not going to be great the whole time, because I don't want my bosses asking me to pay what they're going to need to pay you for being so great. You see how that works? Bottom line, have you ever been on the radio before? How about this? I make you a promise. You call in, you get past Joe Sherry, who's the producer. He's the guy screening the calls. If you reach that far, I guarantee you will get on the air. Drives me nuts. I've sat in, not here, but at the old station, and they would beg for calls, and they would see, let's say, 7 calls came up, and then with this little magic button that we get to talk to people behind the glass with, he'll say, don't take that call. Don't just drop him. Keep him on hold. Don't make him think that we hung up on him, but just leave him there. That will never happen to you here. If you get through today, it's Joe Sherry manning the gates, and he looks pretty fetching in one of those, what is it, Joust? He's got a jousting uniform. You got jousting practice later? It's weird. It's like a helmet and everything. He's looking at me all panicked. So my point is, you're going to get on the air if you call us. And you can talk about anything that you want to. Boy, I'm tired of hearing about never talking about the A's when nobody ever calls me to talk about the A's. See, that's how it works. If there's a buzz, we address the buzz. And just you saying we need to talk more about the A's, that's not very buzzworthy. And right away, we get, what, 4 or 5 calls? Let's go to George. Of course, he's in the jungle. Very nicely done, George.
Yeah, Herbs, about the A's, I'm sorry, there's nothing to talk about right now. But moving on, let's look at if Dame Lillard books some time at Oracle to shoot around before a game, I can guarantee you Steph would go and shoot with him just to be a good guy.
Yeah, I agree. That if that's really the way it went down, and I've now heard 3 completely different stories about how that went down, and the most important one was the one where CP3 is quoted and saying that didn't happen, and I don't know if Steph is, it's not like he's being silent on it, but I agree with you. Steph would say, yeah, let's go one-on-one. He'd make it something. People don't realize how competitive Steph Curry is, and it goes back to a point that Marcus Thompson of The Athletic made in his book about Steph. Fantastic book. But some people actually downgrade him, like fellow African-Americans, because his skin is too light. And when I first read it, I thought, no, that can't be right. But then, look, Marcus Thompson's African-American. I think he would know. That's something that I would never be able to relate to. But some people out there think light-skinned, you're soft. It's ridiculous. Steph Curry is a killer. Mark Stein, he could tell you all about it. He's had a front row seat for Steph's entire career, and so has Marcus Thompson, for that matter. But it's just, it's so weird to me. I mean, I consider myself to be fairly worldly and very inclusive. I never heard any of these, you know, just twisted things. His skin is light, so he's soft. I don't get it. Somebody help me out with that. Who are you picking in the series? Oh, he dropped? My God. Do you be honest. Are you really dropping them? They're dropping themselves? Wow. Maybe they just got nervous and didn't want all the pressure that comes with being the co-host. I promise you, there will be no pressure. Manny is in Oakland. He wants to talk a little bit of Dame Dillard. What's going on, man?
Oh, he dropped? My God, do you be honest?
Hey, turn your radio down. Hello? Murray? Wow, he's gone too. Do we have any carrier pigeons available? We'll just send some out. And if you catch one, you write a note and stick it on. It's got a Velcro neck type thing. You can get those at Not Too Naughty down on, I think it's Main Street somewhere.
I love it.
Big, oh, I'm scared to take this one. Big Damon is his handle. Big Damon in the East Bay. What's happening, man?
What's going on, Irv, man? I just got a question for you. What do you think the legacy of Paul and Harden will be after this loss that they suffered by the Warriors on the other day?
10 years from now, it will be that they are chokers in the postseason and just all about the regular season. They can't clutch up. That's what I think it'll be. From the moment they retire, there'll be about 10 years of that nonsense. And as you get from year 10, 11, 12, on and on and on, people will kind of, you know, get their wits about them and look at what they were able to accomplish in their careers. And I think they will be appreciated big time, way more in 20 years than they will in 10 years.
But will they be in the shadow of the Warriors for the rest of their lives?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I think they're going to be in the shadows. And it kind of reminds me of, and I'm dating myself because I'm over the age of 50, it kind of reminds me of Daffy Duck trying to keep up with Bugs Bunny. I know it's silly, but if you remember that cartoon, he was always the one getting shot when Bugs Bunny would just outsly him, and Elmer Fudd would always shoot that guy.
I like it. Elmer, anytime you can bring up Elmer Fudd on my program, do you have an Elmer Fudd voice? Can you do an Elmer Fudd impression?
Hey, this is, of course not. of course not, man. I can't do that. Tittle can do that. I bet you Tittle can do that.
And I would guess Dibley might be able to do that one, too.
Yeah, I believe so. But I tell you, if you remember that cartoon, and you guys out there that are over 50 know exactly what I'm talking about. I believe that the Rockets are the Daffy Duck of this era.
All right. I like that analogy. Hey, I got to get your prediction real quick for this round, Warriors.
Well, Warriors going to win in five, but I also talked about how there was controversy at the last time that they played because Collins brought the fire and they come back win over the Warriors. And I think there's a little bad blood, and I think the Warriors kind of remember exactly what happened in that game. There was a lot of pushing and shoving going on, and I think Portland came back to beat the Warriors in that game, if you recall that.
Yeah. Do you think the Warriors are I can't ask this. We're up against it. But I think the Blazers might be a little bit ticked off about how little respect they are getting. I mean, this is a good young team that's top of their game. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I do think they'll win in five, the Warriors, that is, but it won't be a cakewalk. We're going to be talking with Eric Crocker, a little bit of NFL. We're going to pivot to the gridiron. We still want to take those calls. We've got plenty of people on hold. Fillmore, Mike, another Mike, a Don, and an OG. We will get you on pronto. We will bring Eric Crocker in just a little bit late if we have to, because tell you the truth, you're more important than Eric Crocker on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, I'm torn between two lovers right now, metaphorically speaking. We've got our second guest, Eric Crocker. He's going to be joining us soon. But I told my producer, we're not going to call that guy until we hear from these five fans who have been very, very patient. Let's start with Don in El Cerrito. Don, you got to get in and get out quickly for me, brother.
Hey, how you doing?
Super. What's going on, man?
Not much. I'm just driving back from the A's game. They did like a run around the bases thing on Mother's Day, and it was really cool. I was standing out there, and as each of the moms was going by with their kids, I was going like, "Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day," and it just brightened up their faces, and it was really just a nice moment.
That was always I've covered the A's for 9 years as a beat writer. That was my favorite day of the year every time.
Yeah, they had 500 women out there in you know, the pink jerseys out before the game, breast cancer survivors. So it was really a cool moment. Anyway, reason I was calling, I had this thought, right? The Cavaliers have, like, you know, a 5% chance to get the number one draft pick, right?
Okay.
Or something like that.
I know that there's three teams that have the same chance. I think it's 14% for each of the bottom three. So it's no longer the last place team has the best chance of getting the top pick. There's three teams that have the best chance.
Okay, so Cavaliers have a 14% chance. So how's this for an idea? They pick Zion Williamson. 3 years from now, the Cavaliers get so contract with the Lakers is over, and he realizes his best chance to get a ring and get past the Warriors finally is to go back to Cleveland. How about that for a thought?
Can you repeat that for me? Because you cut out a little bit at the start of it.
Oh, okay, so Cavaliers get the first pick, take Zion Williamson.
Right.
Right, and they already got that point guard who's, you know, who's shown signs. And so after 3 years of improvement, LeBron looks at them and sees that his best chance to get a ring, to get past the Warriors, go back to Cleveland.
Wow.
How would that be?
LeBron as ring chaser after being the guy who was trolling Durant more than anybody. Man,
right.
That is brutal.
I mean, in 3 years, he's going to be like, you know, a shadow of his former self and all that stuff.
So. Right, yeah. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Don. I appreciate it. Fillmore, Mike, what's going on, Phil Moe?
Hey, man, I want all the Warrior fans, you feel me, new and old, to just remember, We used to be happy to sign people like Danny Fortson. Feel me?
So Cincinnati right Bearcats. Now,
exactly. So right now, man, it's a very great time to be a Warrior fan. Don't ever take this for granted, man. Y'all be smooth. Have a blessed Sunday.
All right. Thank you, Fillmore Mike. Always a caller with great reason and sometimes a wonderful message attached to it. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. What's up, Mike?
Hey there, Herb. So here's the thing. I'm trying to be a good dad on Mother's Day, and I've exposed my son to every sport out there. And a couple of years ago, he said, Dad, wouldn't it be cool if I could go to back-to-back parades, the Sharks and the Warriors? Well, the Warriors did their part. And here we are lined up, third round, both teams. So shout out to the Sharks for putting it all together, because hopefully we can have back-to-back parades in the Bay Area because we love winners. What do you think?
How old is your son, Mike?
Now he's 20.
Still, though, I mean, if he gets to go to back-to-back parades, he gets to act like a five-year-old all over again. I'll give him a week of being a five-year-old.
We got it. So both teams are doing great, and I know the Warriors are the money ticket, but what the Sharks are doing right now, they're lined up. So let's root for them because we're in the Bay Area, right?
That would be awesome. Thank you, Mike. Great phone call. Let's go to Sid in San Francisco. What's up, Sid? Sid?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. There's a lot of background noise.
Okay, hope it's better. But anyway, I wanted to call about the Niners because I got to say, I'm a football fan through and through, and I'm so excited to see what's in store for this season. I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Well, I think a 500 season would be a great season for these Niners. The people last year that were thinking playoffs and Super Bowl, I mean, there was even that one jackass in the Niners locker room after their last game of the season that Jimmy G basically turned the NFL on its head and thinking that they were going to go to the Super Bowl the next year. No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, teams have a better chance in the NFL as opposed to the other leagues of going, from worst to first. But the Niners, we all know, they don't have enough talent to make that kind of jump. What I want to see is them get to 500, because that's when basically you can't judge Shanahan until he gets this team to 500. And if it takes too long to get there, he's never going to get there because he'll get the boot. I think he's got a pretty long leash, but I don't know. I feel like people are expecting too much from this Niners team who has not accomplished anything. OG, you're going to wrap up the phone segment before we talk to Mr. Crocker. What you got?
What's going on, Herb?
I'm having the best time right now.
No, I love it. I love it. I love you. I love Simons, but I tell you, you guys sound very different, so I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, man.
I have two quick ones. Will Kevin Durant stay with the Warriors if they don't walk away with the Larry O'Brien trophy this year?
Okay, first off, let's all step off and say, hey, we just got through an hour and 25 minutes before bringing up what Kevin Durant is going to do in the future. I have no idea what he's going to do. If it's about basketball, I can't imagine him leaving in any way being able to justify it on basketball terms, because KD stays, let's face it, they are the odds-on favorite to win it all every year for the next five if the core four are still here, and I truly believe that. Is the gap being closed? It is, but not to the point where it's just that's way too much, way too soon. All right, I've been teasing this guy long enough. Eric Crocker, he's a former NFL defensive back. He's with 4th and 9. He's a contributor there, and he's also the host of the Press Coverage podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Eric, first off, how you doing, man? Nice to meet you over the phone. How's your weekend been going?
Everything's good. I had a nice little Mother's Day with the wife and kids and everything. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's nice to talk a little bit of football because, as you probably, everybody knows the big story in the Bay Area is the Warriors, and they're going to continue to be the big story until at least the playoffs end. But I know that, the draft has become such a beast, and now that it's 3 days, I think it's one day too many. But I feel like the NFL is always going to be the king, staying, front and center in terms of the news. There's football news 24/7, 365. The NBA is kind of getting close to that, but football's still the king, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. I mean, just look at the ratings. It's the most watched, sporting event. Maybe just because of how it's structured with only one game per week, and then the playoffs is win or go home every single game. So every game is like a game seven of basketball in the NBA or baseball. But, I mean, it's just such a polarizing game. NFL, it'll always be king.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it's tough to really gauge anything based on the ratings alone. But, look, we all know that the Super Bowl is the biggest ticket that you could ever possibly buy. The people who buy commercials, they pay more for the Super Bowl than any other programming throughout the calendar year. But, yeah, football is definitely the king. I want to get your thoughts on the Combine in general. They've even managed to turn that into an event. Is it too much, or in your mind, is the Combine absolutely essential for evaluating these kids correctly?
I think, the Combine is, I don't know if it has to be as big as what they make it, but it's something that's really good. And some kids that come up from smaller schools, it gives them a chance to kind of, compete against top tier talent, from across the nation, just kind of measure themselves against other guys like, hey, I work out like you do. I run fast like you do. I jump high like you do. Now can you take this and then go back and watch my film? Hopefully the small school guy did something to kind of, gain the attention of scouts and stuff like that. So I think the Combine, I think it's good for those people. It's good for those people. You go to Alabama, they've seen everything on you. They've seen all your film. The Combine, I think it just, from that point of guys like that, it just slots you where you should be drafted. If you run really fast, you're going to be drafted high. If you don't run as fast, you're going to be drafted a little bit lower, but you're still going to be drafted. For the guys that go to, 1AA schools or D2s, D3s, that could be the difference between them getting an opportunity in the NFL and just not getting an opportunity at all. So I think it's very necessary, especially for guys, from smaller schools.
Yeah, so you think unless you're from one of the Power 5 conferences in college football, if you're not in one of those Power 5s, what you're saying, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying, is that it's the only time they're going to get run and their only time to have a chance to kind of gauge themselves where they are with the big boys, because there's no actual plays. So if a scout goes and watches a guy and says, okay, I like that, I'd like to see his measurables, do you think any scouts do that? Like, okay, I need to see what he runs in the 40. I need to see how many times he can throw up 225. Because I don't know, it's the eye test for me, Eric. It's, can you play the game? And the Combine doesn't necessarily give us that.
Where are athletically? Because the NFL, as much film as everybody watches and as much film as I break down and stuff, for the most part, they just want the athlete and, okay, what can I do with this athlete? And that's kind of how they look at it. So if you look at the first round more times than not, it's just the athletically freakishly even guys like Montez, right? I mean, he's not really the best. He's not, I wouldn't say he's a first round edge rusher. Just on his film, he's a little high hit.
Hey, Eric, we're going to have to put Eric on. Eric, we're going to have to actually talk to him, Joe. We're going to have to get him to call back. The phone's just not working out. Hopefully you can give us a call back. All right, now that we've wrapped up all of the calls, do we have our guest? We're going to start all over again. All right, we're trying to figure out the phone lines. If you've got some NFL stuff you would like to talk about, yeah, I'm just glad we're past the combine and draft season. Look, much respect to the NFL for figuring out a way to keep the news cycle going. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It's 24/7, 365. You go to ESPN and click on the NFL homepage, and you will have fresh content, even if absolutely nothing is going on. It's a beast, and you need to keep feeding it. So they've turned the combine into a television event. They've turned the draft into a television event. You can't really get away from it. But the same thing goes. It's part of maybe oversaturation of the media, because, as I said, the NBA is kind of closing that gap. I would say as recently as 5 years ago, maybe 10, that hardly anybody knew anything about the NBA Summer League. I mean, nothing about them. Now they're having to book it and have it at bigger venues because people are so starving for the NBA that they will check it out in no matter what form. I mean, my God, the big baller brand, I think they were trying to put, see, I'm going to get me some LeVar Ball in. I think he was talking about trying to do a league. Ice Cube did the 3-on-3 league. There's another 3-on-3 league. Basketball is closing fast on the NFL. Now, as it relates to the ratings, 408 says, Herbs, football only plays 16 games a year. The action to coverage ratio is off the charts, but ultimately, it's not as important as we may think. I hear you. And 650 tells me that Carlos Hyde was the guy who said, the Niners are going to the Super Bowl because Jimmy G's here and he makes everybody better at what they do, except me as a radio host. All right, Eric, we got you back.
Yeah, we'll see if it works better this time. Sorry about that.
All right, no problem. It's not your fault, man. It's the cell towers. Tell me, who do you feel like? I always think this amuses me, but you have to do it because it's been done for every year. Who were some of the winners and losers in the NFL draft?
You know, it's always tough because, you know, people like to put on grades, you know, right after the draft. I just kind of look at, like, what people do as an entirety of their offseason. And I know people probably that listen to your radio station are going to like this, but I think the 49ers and the Raiders are probably two of the biggest winners. When you look at the Raiders, they have some massive holes on offense and on defense. They needed a running back. They needed receivers. They needed a cornerback. They needed linebackers. And I felt like they did a really good job of addressing all of those needs. They added Trayvon Mullen in the second round on offense. They went out, they got Tyrell Williams, they got Antonio Brown, and then they got the running back, Josh Jacobs. They added an edge rusher. I mean, I think they only had like 13 sacks all season. And when you look at that, I mean, we had the 49ers had DeForest Buckner. He had 12 by himself. The Raiders had 13 as a team, I believe. So, you know, they got an edge rusher with Cleveland Farrell. So I just thought that a lot of the needs that they needed in safety because Joseph wasn't working out, so they got Jonathan Abrams. So I just thought a lot of the needs that they had, they addressed within the entire offseason and not just the draft, because I know a lot of people like to do draft grades, but I look at everything as an entire offseason. I thought they did a really good job. And the 49ers as well. The 49ers, they went into the offseason. They need two edge rushers. They got both of those, one in free agency, one in the draft. They need a linebacker because of the whole Reuben Foster debacle, and they got Quan Alexander. They needed a receiver. They went and got Deebo Samuel. I really like a lot of what both of those teams did.
You know what I like about what the Niners have done this offseason, and it's really all a fan can expect. Some teams, they bury their head in the sand and don't acknowledge the problems on their own roster. So when the draft rolls around, yeah, some people draft for the best athlete available. Others draft for, you know, for what your need is, basically. And the Niners addressed all. It's just, as a Niners fan, I look at their team as the season ended last year, and I said, okay, here's where we need to get better. Here, 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 here. All I need to see is that the Niners, they're feeling the same thing. They're seeing the same thing. Now, whether or not they're able to successfully address the position, you know, that's neither here nor there. I just want to know that they see what's wrong, and that's the only way you're going to fix everything, right? That old cliche. It's you don't miss anything until it's gone. I felt like they did a great job in free agency.
Yeah, you know, free agency in the draft, and you know, a lot of it is about self scouting. You know, I self scout myself on certain things. I'm pretty sure you did the same thing with your radio show, and the 49ers did the same thing as far as, okay, let's look at, you know, where have we gone wrong? Where have we gone wrong with how we've addressed certain things? And where can we go from there? And I thought, you know, just the way that they added things to where there were certain things I knew that they wouldn't address, even though the general population felt like they should, like, you know, safety, cornerback. I didn't think that those were spots that the 49ers would really go after in the offseason outside of maybe Earl Thomas. But, you know, outside of that, I didn't think they would really go after that, and I think most people did. But, you know, aside from that whole thing, I thought they did a really good job of addressing a lot of situations, and even added to some spots where they didn't need the most help. They didn't have to go and get Tevin Coleman, but they went and got a very explosive back to go with the backfield that they had, you know, and that might just be insurance for, you know, Breda or McKinnon isn't as healthy as they should be throughout the year, or just to have another weapon. So, yeah, I liked a lot of the stuff that they did.
The voice you hear is that of Eric Crocker. He is a former NFL defensive back. He's a contributor at 4th and 9 and the host of the Press Coverage Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Okay, you mentioned the two Bay Area teams as being among the teams that did real well in the draft. Are you saying that because you're on a Bay Area radio station, or do you truly believe that?
No, well, me being a 49er fan, I actually really hate the Raiders. So to acknowledge that they did well at something,
yes,
that's really hard for me. But, you know, just looking at it, you know, just not being non-biased or anything, I thought they did extremely well for themselves this offseason. And even address the offensive line, I forgot to mention that, with Trent Brown, former 49er, mm-hmm. I think that could help Derek Carr a little bit, because I kind of feel bad for Derek Carr when I was watching the 49ers beat up on them last year, you know, sacked them like 8 times. Mm-hmm. Just looks so helpless out there, right? So they got him a little bit of help, got him some weapons. So, yeah, no, I thought they did a pretty good job. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on a Bay Area station.
Right, right. We're talking Niners, Raiders, NFL football in general with Eric Crocker. Eric, do you think the season needs to be shortened? There's a lot of talk about, aside from all the ridiculous rules talk, one of the things that I've heard get thrown out is, well, maybe we need to shorten the season or eliminate some of the exhibition games. You and I both know they're not going to eliminate anything that brings them money. And there's nothing that's more of a win financially for an NFL team than a home game, an exhibition game. They're going to sell out. They're going to charge regular season prices. I just don't know, though, if there's any way to shorten the season, because it involves money coming out of guys' pockets. And the only league that doesn't give guaranteed contracts, which is ridiculous, you're going to ask them. I'm shocked, Eric, and I don't know if you share my feelings on this, but the fact that they're the league, the only league that doesn't give guaranteed contracts, these guys are literally putting their lives on the line. I think it's got it all mixed up. Baseball players should have to earn their keep, but no, if they've got a $40 million a year contract, you could blow out your knee in game one, and you're still going to get paid. You do that in the NFL, they'll just cut you.
Yeah, you know, I know all about that. You know, I signed a contract with the New York Jets for $1.5 million, 3 years, $1.5 million. I did not see $1.5 million. So, you know, I would like it to be fully guaranteed. I guess it's not. That's just not the way it is. Maybe because, you know, they have really large rosters compared to other sports. You look at baseball, I want to say it was like 26 guys. You look at basketball, it's around 15. NFL, you know, to have the injury turnover that the NFL has, you know, combined with the already large roster, it probably would be a little more difficult to give fully guaranteed contracts. I think the only way to do that would be to lower the amount of money that people get. So, say if a guy, instead of, you know, minimum, the roster minimum is probably, you know, if you're just coming in, it's probably around $500,000. Say if it was around $250,000, they probably could make that whole thing fully guaranteed. But, you know, I think that's more the issue. Just so many people that they have to pay. But the NFL makes a lot of money. So I think that if there is a way to do it, they can find it out. We saw, you know, their rookies are getting guaranteed fully contracts with, you know, the top draft picks. We just saw Kyler Murray sign for around like $35 million guaranteed. We just saw Kirk Cousins sign last year.
He was the first one, right? Cousins was the first guy to get a fully guaranteed contract.
He was the first one with a bigger, fully guaranteed contract. So they have been, like I said, like I remember when I was with the Jets, they had D. Milliner, and they signed him for like $12 million. Well, his $12 million, it was fully guaranteed. His entire contract was fully guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
But it was only $12 million compared to somebody like Cousins, who, you know, is like around $90 million. That's guaranteed. That's a huge difference, you know.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry, I just got distracted from my producer. My bad. I liked you the minute I heard your voice. I love you now because I am wearing, Eric, a New York Jets hat and a New York Jets windbreaker. How about that? A California guy, born and raised, somehow ended up being a Jets fan. How was your experience with the Jets?
You might like the Jets more than the people in that area. When I was out there. You know, it was
great.
We had a really great coach. I wasn't around as long as I would have liked to. I was there the entire offseason. And then some like preseason and stuff and all that stuff. But we had Rex Ryan, great, 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 great coach, great players coach, but also an amazing X's and O's coach. And he was like a guy like you, just like to sit and have a beer with, but you learn so much about football talking to him. And then Tim McDonald, who I grew up watching while he was with the 49ers, he was the defensive back coach. Then there was another guy, Dennis Thurman, who was a Cowboys great.
Mm-hmm.
He was the defensive coordinator and helped with secondary. So there were a lot of good people there. I was there with Antonio Cromartie, and I made some good friendships with people there. And some guys that are still there. That whole experience, man, it was great, and it kind of helped me with a lot of things I do today.
Eric, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. A lot of people think, Sunday, Mother's Day, yeah, I'm not going to go on a sports talk radio station, but you drew the short straw. You're fantastic. Thank you, man.
I'm football all the time, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, man. Take care. That is Eric Crocker, formerly of the J-E-T-S, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. See, when you pound the table, you let people know I'm serious. Right, Joe Spadoni? I'm going to teach you things as we go. Let's see, we're going to flip gears again. We might get into some, are we next with some baseball? I feel like we got baseball next. That's exactly what we have. And you know what else we have? I was such a proud father when I looked at the call board, and it was almost full. I've never had it completely full. Let's do that in the next segment on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I would love to round up like 10 or 15 14-year-olds and play this for them, what they would think of it. Because this was pretty advanced stuff when it first came out. Beasties were that band that could experiment with anything, and it all worked out. Did you know they got their start as a punk rock band? A ska band? These are the nuggets you get in a weekend closing show. I'm Mike Lurbin. It's 5:50. We're going to be together for 2 hours and 10 minutes more. So if you would like to hear your voice on the radio, well, you're out of luck because we tell you to turn off your radio when we go to you. But have somebody tape it or something. You know what I'm saying. But you can be the co-host. And as long as you're good, we'll keep you on the line. So let's go to Dave in Sacramento. What's up, Dave? How are you?
Hey, Herbs. I'm doing pretty good. Talking with you is always good for ball, just like the ship deck, Sharon.
Nice. Oh, my God. I love you. I just want to hold you right now. You hit for the cycle right there. Well done.
Thanks, man. Always appreciate it.
Just like the ship deck, Sharon.
Just like the ship. You know, I just got to pick your brain on this here because I always keep hearing this circulating around. And maybe I just want to get a new approach on this. There's still a trade rumor going on that Madison Bumgarner could potentially go to the A's. Given your background that you have, how realistic do you think that is? Because as far-fetched as it may sound, when you do consider the relationship between Zaid and Billy Bean, it really doesn't sound too far out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there may have been a way of doing business at one point in Major League Baseball where you didn't make trades with your rivals. And there was some ridiculous stat. Like the last time the Giants and the A's participated in a trade, I think it might have involved Daryl Hamilton back in the day. I don't know. I could see it, but... Madison Bumgarner to the A's. Would that hurt the A's? Because they know they're not going to be able to sign him long-term, right?
Well, I mean, when you look at it, what are we hurting for, really? We're really hurting for starting pitching because we have so many quality pitchers out on Tommy John or any other procedure at the moment.
Right.
So he's looking for prospects, and the A's have those in droves. And the way I keep looking at it, the more I want to say this is unrealistic, the more realistic this is looking.
Yeah, now, what do you think if it got to free agency? Do you think there's any chance Madison would choose of his own volition to go to the A's? Now, granted, he's not going to hit free agency. I'd be shocked if he wasn't traded by the deadline. But you think he would go to the A's? Because I think he has a list of teams He's got a no trade clause, and it's for eight teams. And the A's aren't on that team, are they? They're not on the list. So he's open to it. Be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Honestly, if it was up to his choice, you know, I don't know, because who knows? If it is an incentive to stay in the Bay Area, I can see that path. Realistically, you know, he may just want to prospect another team if it's up to his choice. But, you know, it might be the situation. I just keep thinking.
Sorry, Dave, your phone was going nuts. If you want to call back, you are more than welcome to. In fact, I'd really like for you to call back. I felt like we had a connection there. 888-957-9570. If you would like to join the conversation, the phone lines are looking lonely again. 888-957-9570. We can talk about anything sports that you would like. Let's go to the phone lines. He's currently the only person on the phone lines, and this cracks me up because on our board, it says status, which is either on air or off air, and then it's name, and then it's city. And I see this listed as 211 is the name, Steve Reserve is the city. Now, this is just because Joe Sherry's not been with us very long. This is the legendary 211 Steel Reserve. What's going on, man?
What's up, big dog? Hey, look, check this out. A couple things. All them youngsters out there, the Beastie Boys' License to Ill album was actually just a joke that took off like crazy and catapulted them into hip-hop.
Yeah, I've heard that, man. That's a big surprise that happened.
A couple things hanging there with me. First of all, I'm surprised that Mad Bum did not put the Dodgers under the not trade list. I would love for him, even though I despise the Giants and I despise him because he's just raw, if he would go to the Dodgers, he would actually answer some of our prayers in the playoffs because Kershaw just chokes in the playoffs, bro.
Yeah.
Now, check this out. Kyle Shanahan, the dude has proven to be a great offensive coordinator. He has yet to prove that he can actually be a great coach. And there's a big difference in that. And there's a lot of coordinators that have been good coordinators but awful head coaches. So let's keep that in check, too. So I think the Niners get a little pumped up a little too much. I see them 8-8. That's why I'm taking the under on the 8.5 in Vegas. They still have to deal with Seattle. Seattle, they thought they were going to have to rebuild. They're actually just retooled, and they're back in the mix, man. Let's keep it real. And the Rams, we just don't know what the Rams are going to do, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I love that the Rams have – remember, 2 years ago, we were talking about Jared Goff as an absolute bust, which I always think anytime you're talking about a young football player, if you're trying to judge him, whether he's a draft bust or a draft success – you got to wait 3 years, don't you? I mean, it's a very difficult league to play in, and it's the most physical of all the sports. But I've never gotten quite over the fact. Don't you think that's kind of silly?
It's hard, man. He's not one of them big-time quarterbacks where you're like just in awe at all times. He's just the kind of quarterback that needs to do what needs to be done when needs to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. What else you got for me, 211? Is he still with us? No? Okay. I'll have to jump in here. Before you hang up, I'm asking every one of our callers who is going to win how many games, even if you're not calling about basketball. We're the Warriors flagship station. I'm just going to sprinkle some Warriors even into our football and baseball talk. Now, we are going to be talking baseball with Alex Pavlovich. He, of course, is with NBC Sports Bay Area. He is their Giants insider. So we'll get that at about, I think, about 6:20. And then we'll really start ramping up the anticipation for good football, bad football. It's going to be, I think you're going to like the twist. I haven't even told you guys about my twist. I'm supposed to ask if you think it'll work before telling everybody in the world that we're going to do it. You might say, yeah, Herbs, it's just stupid. But I don't think you will. Let's go to Danny in Mountain View. Danny, what's going on?
Doing all right, Herbs. Hey, you know, I'm kind of changing the...
Here you go. There's certain words you can't say on the radio, and when you do, we tap you at the knees. You gone. 888-957-9570. Anybody out there, you're more than willing to jump in and take his spot. Let's go to the Chilton Auto Body text line. 95795. Joe's music, Getting Love. Nothing new there. That's the only Beastie Boys album I like, and I love it. 408, Herbs, thanks for your answer. You make it fun to listen to on the weekends. You and Tittle. You have no idea what a huge compliment that is to me. Rick Tittle is my radio man crush. He's like everything that you want. Like if I have to chill with somebody for 4 hours, I'd like it to be Rick Tittle. I'd like to get paid while I'm doing it, and that might change my affinity for him. But he's underrated, man, big time. Happy when I get to work with him on the weekends. Happy to be talking sports with you guys on the weekends. I'm going to give you the numbers again, 888-957-9570. That is for you to call. If you're just one of those texters that refuses to talk on the phone, I actually called my youngest daughter because she wasn't answering my text, and she answered the phone, which she doesn't often do. Dad, yeah, everything okay? Like, yeah, why? I swear, it was like she had never answered a call before. Like, I carry this phone everywhere. I'm always looking at it, but I didn't know that it made noise back at me. Weird, man. Kids, they're the best. Herbs, football only plays 16 games a year. The action, oh, I love when texters send the same text that they sent an hour ago, the exact same text. Repetition gets the point across. From the 408, just random, Kevin Harlan is awesome. I got to agree there. I think my favorite call of all time in all of broadcasting history, not Ghost to the Post, not Sleepy Void, Sleepy Void, Sleepy Floyd. I can't get it. I'm gonna step off the mound, get my wits about me, and just calm down first. I'm going to investigate this because the 510 says your phone lines are busy, by the way. How many lines do you expect the Portland Golden State series to go? I think they spent, they did say games. Is there something wrong with our phone lines? Because I know we shut it off at one point. That's why. He had to dump when somebody swears on the air. I'm going to pull back the curtain, teach you about radio. There's a 7-second delay. The 7 seconds is to give the Joe Spadonis of the world a chance to let's make sure that doesn't get on the air. And he's doing a fine job of it. But apparently you have to reset the system. And you had the misfortune of calling when he reset it, which is why you were getting the dial tone or the busy signal. It doesn't matter. What matters is you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco. It's a radio.com sports station. Dave, you had to sit and wear it while I was flapping my gums. What do you got?
No, hey, Herbs, I think you guys were having some phone problems because I tried calling about a half hour ago and the line was perpetually busy. So not sure what was causing it. Not a big deal. Just want to let you know.
Well, it is a big deal if I don't get to talk to the people out there. I mean,
yeah, that is a big deal, actually.
It is. So thanks for letting us know. We'll take a look into it.
Hey, just a few things about the Warriors. First, I wanted to talk about Tim Roy. I think Tim Roy is way underrated, and he is phenomenal because he is one of those rare play-by-play guys that has that ability to infuse light humor with his play-by-play. I think most play-by-play guys are freaking boring because they take themselves way too seriously. And listen, I know you're part of the flagship station for the Warriors, but with all due respect, Jim Barnett and Tim Roy, that's like oil and water because I can't tell you how many times I've listened to Tim's play-by-play and he's throwing out, you know, little zingers here and there, you know, little tidbits of humor, and they go right over Jim's head. And it's amazing how many times Tim's had to go, never mind, we'll just move on. Because Jim just...
Hey, Dave. Dave, in their defense, they hardly ever work together. I mean, Tim does his thing on the radio, and he does it solo for the most part, and so he's locked into that style. Jim is the color commentary guy on the TV side. The two mediums, unless you work in the business, this might not make much sense, but it's two incredibly different mediums. The mechanics are different. I just got to defend my boys. I appreciate your phone call, though. Let's go to Danny, in Mountain View. What's up, Danny?
Herbs, first off, I have to apologize because I was trying to switch from my car to my phone to make sure it wasn't, it was good, and I didn't mean to swear.
That's all right.
And amen on what you just said. It's both of those guys are fantastic. The reason I was calling, and by the way, thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
The reason I was calling is what I was noticing is on game six, there was a peep about a problem with the officiating.
And isn't that wonderful?
I thought that was really cool. I mean, well, you tell me what you thought, because I didn't hear anything about any moaning or complaining.
You mean after game six in particular, or yes, since right, it became right, a big issue, which was it was after game two that the report from the Rockets came out, right?
Yeah. But game six, which is where we clinched.
I love the fact that we weren't talking about the referees.
Game, right?
Yeah, we should never be talking about the referees. First off, you can't go back and change any calls that they made. Second off, what's the best referee, the best umpire, whatever it is, any sort of sports officiating? The best at that is those whose name you do not know and don't care to know, because if you don't notice them, they're doing a damn good job.
And that's what I thought happened with game six. And I don't think anybody ever gives them the referee's props that, you know, everybody complains a lot. But you know what? No one said anything about it. They did a fantastic job.
I agree with you. It was a good bounce back for the referees. And like that is such a hard job to – I mean, basketball must be a nightmare to officiate, especially – you see how young – it seems like the refereeing crew is getting younger and younger and younger. These guys are getting up to the NBA as refs when they're in their late 20s. And they're kind of replacing a wave of just absolute studs like Titans in their.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.